Chapter 7. A Perfect Wedding. Archer waited at the front of the church. Everything was perfect. The sun was shining, the spring flowers were wonderful, and the wedding ring was safe in his jacket. Archer looked around at the friends and family filling the church and back toward the door. There was no sign of May and her father. As he watched, the door opened and Mrs. Medora Manson entered the church. Archer's heart beat fast as he watched the door behind her. Mrs. Manson and Countess Olenska were living together in Washington, and he was not expecting them here. He continued to watch the door, hopefully, but no one followed Mrs. Manson into the church. Archer's heart seemed to stop, and he felt himself fall into a dream. Suddenly, May was standing beside him, looking so beautiful that her light seemed to warm him at last. Sometime later, without knowing what happened, he found himself walking down the church with May on his arm, the ring on her finger. In the carriage outside, he heard his voice say, "I was so frightened of losing the ring. I kept thinking of all the terrible things that might happen." May surprised him by throwing her arms round his neck.
"Newland, nothing terrible can ever happen now that we're together," she said.
After so much careful planning, everything about the day went perfectly, from the wedding breakfast at Mrs. Mingott's to arriving on time at the station for their journey out of New York. As the train went north along the Hudson River, May talked happily about the wedding.
"I was surprised that Aunt Medora came," she said. "Ellen wrote in her last letter that neither of them was well enough to travel. I'm sorry that Ellen was still unwell. She sent such a beautiful gift."
"Yes, I... no, it was beautiful," Archer began, looking at May without seeing her. How could he stop his carefully built-up world falling down each time he heard that name? He took May's hand in his.
"Aren't you tired?" he asked quietly.
"Not at all," she answered. "Oh, Newland, what a wonderful time we're always going to have together."
Bright green grass stretched away to the shining blue sea. It was summer, the year after the wedding. Archer was standing outside of the Beauforts' house in Newport, Rhode Island. He was watching the young women of the Newport Archery Club in their pretty summer dresses as they sent their arrows toward the targets. Archer did not want to go to Newport for the summer, but it was where the Wellands and most of New York high society always went. And he did not want to hurt May or her family. He was lucky to be married to one of the most beautiful and kindest young women in New York. The idea of marrying Countess Olenska was now a past dream, which had no part at all in his real life. Beaufort walked across the grass toward him, looking older, heavier, and redder in the summer sunshine. There was a lot of talk about Beaufort, about a woman called Fanny Ring, and about the expensive gifts that he bought both her and his wife. And there was talk, too, about the wild mistakes he was making with money.
May's going to win the archery, you know,
Beaufort announced to Archer.
But that's the only target that she'll ever hit.
Archer felt angry. He should not care if this vulgar man did not like his wife, because he thought that she was too nice. Yet the words made Archer afraid of something. That behind May's beautiful face and kind behavior, there was nothing. On their way home, May said suddenly,
I heard that Aunt Medora and Ellen are staying in Portsmouth. Medora doesn't like Newport, but Ellen agreed to leave Washington at last for a holiday.
Archer's heart seemed to stop.
Shall we go see Granny?
May went on.
I'd like to tell her about winning the archery.
Archer agreed and drove the carriage toward a rocky area of land, away from the center of Newport, where old Mrs. Mingott had her summer house. Mrs. Mingott was happy to see them and asked about the archery.
Wait, Ellen may want to hear about it too.
Is Ellen here?
May asked in surprise.
She's come to visit me from Portsmouth for the day, replied Mrs. Mingott. I don't understand why she hides herself there.
Then she called out,
Ellen! Ellen!
But only a servant appeared.
Miss Ellen has gone down to the sea, said the servant.
Mrs. Mingott turned to Archer.
Can you run down and get her? You must see her before you go.
Archer stood up in a dream. It was a year and a half since his last meeting with the Countess. In that time, he sometimes heard her name, and he knew a little about her life in Washington. But until today, she seemed part of another life. He thought back to the last time they met, by the fire in her little sitting room. He followed the path through the garden, down the hill, toward the sea. Between the trees, he could see a pier stretching out into the water. At the end of it, a woman was standing with her back to the garden, looking out to sea. Archer stopped. He watched the woman on the pier and the sailing boats out at sea. The sun was low and threw a soft yellow light over the water. A picture of yellow roses suddenly came into Archer's mind. She doesn't know that I'm here, he thought. Then he said to himself, if she doesn't turn round before that boat reaches the little island, I'll go back. Archer watched and waited. The boat reached the island and sailed on. But the woman on the pier did not move. Archer turned and walked back up the hill toward the house.
I'm sorry that you didn't find Ellen, May said as they drove home later. You know, she lives so strangely and uncomfortably since she left New York. It might be better for her to be back with her husband.
Archer was shocked. What an unkind thing to say. Surely living with that terrible man couldn't make her happier, he replied. As he stepped inside the Wellens' Newport house, Archer felt that this was not his real life. Only the picture in his mind of the woman on the pier was real.